Please include the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. in your year-end giving. With 3 weeks left in 2019, we're $110,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
You know, Barack Obama didn't get to be the President of the United States without being ordained by God. Neither did Donald Trump.
I care about this because my faith teaches me that salvation has to do with how I make myself useful to those who have been excluded, marginalized, and cast aside and oppressed in society.
I am the God who created you. Trust me. I am the God who loved you from before the foundation of the world. And I am the God who has redeemed you from sin. Trust me. Don't you know that I have the power to judge you and throw you into the flames? And the martyrs would say, yeah, your flames will last probably 30 minutes, but the one who will judge you has flames that last forever.
Greetings. I listen to Issues, etc. while building things in my wood shop here in Michigan. And Issues, etc. helps me to build up my faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
It's interesting to see how this Old Testament prophet is depicted in art, in the historic art of the church. He's often depicted sitting by himself, often with a scroll in his hand. He's depicted looking morose, sad, even in some cases desperate. Sometimes a very lonely picture is painted of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Why is that? Jeremiah is like all the other prophets, but he's kind of like all the other prophets on steroids. What the other prophets do and say, Jeremiah is given to do and say in a bigger way, under bigger circumstances, with, well, God's immediate judgment at stake. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, his comfort that he proclaims even in the midst of the people's captivity. Katie Faust joins us a little bit later. She's founder and director of a children's rights organization, Them Before Us. We'll talk about media opposition to a Trump judicial appointment over IVF and surrogacy. It's a listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line. And then Emily Jashinsky closes off the program with us. Cultural editor for The Federalist will talk about two issues: House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's statement, "I pray for the president," and the media's involvement in the culture wars. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the comfort that is preached by Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So Jeremiah is kind of typical of the prophets, but when Jeremiah is asked to go and preach, it's at the time when God's judgment is about to happen. Does that make his message any different?
It makes his message different because Jeremiah was a prophet who realized that the nearer the punishment came, which would have been exile into Babylon, the worse the people became. And the more he preached to them, oftentimes, the more they despised his teaching. The first 20 chapters of Jeremiah really is talking about Jeremiah warning them about the destruction of Jerusalem, of the whole land, and the Babylonian captivity. We don't begin the Bible study until quite a bit after that, in chapter 29. And that's when Jeremiah seeks to help to comfort the people who are now finding themselves in captivity in Babylon, and they have become hopeless. And I believe that it is this understanding of hope that God wants to get across in this book of Jeremiah, and understanding the world does not have, but believers do have.
Talk a little bit about how the book of Jeremiah opens with the fact that God said he had called him even from the womb.
This is the actual beginning of our text here with Jeremiah. He, and this is chapter 1. In verse 4, it becomes very clear after giving some of his genealogy that Jeremiah was called by God. Now, he's about 20 years old when the word of the Lord comes to him saying, verse 5, chapter 1, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Kind of reminds us of John the Baptizer, who also was known from before he was born. Remember, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, in fact, when he jumped for joy when Jesus came into the room, who was in the womb of Mary, when Mary was visiting Elizabeth. Now, Jeremiah hears this word that he is appointed a prophet to the nations, and he has the same problem that Moses has. Behold, I do not know how to speak. And then he says, I'm only a youth. Well, the Lord says to him, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. This is a great passage, not only for pastors. A new pastor gets into a congregation and he may be worried, boy, I haven't had that much experience. What am I going to do? Well, one of the things he can do is talk to older pastors when he has some situations he's wondering what to do and listen to their advice. But the fact of the matter is, God does not send someone to a congregation without this promise that I'm the one who is sending you. This is a real important point for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the students. Nothing happens in their life that is not caused by God. Now, what I mean by that, if they do something evil, for example, they may steal something from someone, they're the cause of that stealing, but God also wills it. He willed that they were able to get whatever they were trying to steal, and he wills it for a particular purpose in order that they might be disciplined by him and come to a knowledge of the truth. So, why should Jeremiah or any of us not be afraid of those with whom we speak? Often I drive for Uber, and then in sermons, Bible studies on KFUO Law and Gospel, I talk about my experiences. And I recently had a lady write to me and said, boy, that takes a lot of courage for you to do that. Well, I didn't feel like I was courageous at all. These are people sitting in the back seat of my car in Uber. That's a private taxi, kind of, so to speak. And it becomes pretty obvious to them that I'm a pastor. We get around to that, and they start asking theological questions. Now, how do I answer them? Well, the Lord says to me the same thing he says to Jeremiah in verse 9. He put his hand on the mouth of Jeremiah and said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, and here comes Law and Gospel, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, and now the gospel, to build and to plant. So, what is a faithful Christian in sharing the message of God with another person? It's simply repeating what God says. And who knows what vocation you are in? You can be quite confident, if it's not a sinful vocation, that the God had planned that for you. It's not that you can't move to another vocation or do something else, but God was very clear in his promise. And that's why we should have hope for the future. And the reason people don't have hope is they look at their experiences and they get forlorn. And I can understand why a lot of pictures, I should say, of Jeremiah have him forlorn, because he often speaks to the people he loves and they are rejecting him again and again. And it's not till the latter part of our Sunday school lesson where we then begin to hear the hope that Jeremiah has, beginning with chapter 29.
What is the judgment that God eventually brings on the people, in the midst of which Jeremiah will still be preaching that message of law and gospel?
Yes, the judgment is nobody thought that anybody could destroy the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus quotes that, "The temple of God, you have made my temple a den of robbers." And the people would say, "Oh no, that's impossible that anybody is going to destroy God's temple." Well, what happened is God left the temple, his spirit went up on a mountain, and the Babylonians came in and destroyed not just the temple, but Jerusalem, and took many, many people into exile, into captivity. Now, what's so surprising is Jeremiah's letter to the exiles. They're now in captivity. And they're going to be in captivity, God says, for about 70 years. Now, in that captivity, what are they to do? Are they to be fighting the Babylonians, etc.? No. Chapter 29, verses 5 and following, they are to build houses and live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, have sons and daughters. And in other words, do not decrease in the population. Now, verse 7 is so critical. Verse 20, chapter 29, verse 7. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you shall find your welfare." That's really the way the Christians were living. Even though they were being persecuted in many lands that they went to, they sought the welfare of that city. And the more that the city got into welfare, that is good things, less war, then the better it was for the church. You can imagine how difficult it would be for me as a Lutheran pastor in Saudi Arabia to have a worship service right now. It is illegal. They don't even permit it. And so being in the United States, where we have this freedom, that is just wonderful. Now, there were people in the Babylonian captivity who were false prophets, and they were dreaming dreams, and Jeremiah warned the exiles not to listen to them. And he said from God, this is verse 9, chapter 29, "What they are prophesying to you in my name is a lie. I did not send them, says the Lord." But then the Lord says something. "Within 70 years, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." What's the promise? Well, God had made a promise to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac that they would be in the land of Canaan, not in the land of Babylon. And verse 11 is so critical of chapter 29. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you" what? "A future and a hope." I really believe that the Enduring Faith CPH material did a wonderful task in showing that the word hope, when God uses it, is not the way we often use it in the world, meaning a wish, like a child can hope he's going to get a computer program at Christmas, and how disappointed he is when he opens a present and finds a pair of underpants. That's what the parents gave him instead. So his hope isn't a sure hope. In contrast to God, when he says, I'm giving you a hope, it's because he has planned for your welfare. And our hopes are always sure because they're attached to a promise. And as the lesson goes on, we'll get into the tremendous new promise that God is giving to his people.
We'll be talking about that new promise with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of December. We're talking about the comfort in the message of Old Testament prophet Jeremiah.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Do not fear the journalists and mobs that serve the sexual revolution. For as in Luther's time, the swine, dunces, and blockheads are again out in force.
Dr. Alan Carlson speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
No doubt, Satan happily sneers. Yet be not afraid, for the triune God and his cloud of holy witnesses, including those Christians from nearly 2,000 years ago who faced something very similar, they are there by your side.
You can listen to Dr. Alan Carlson's presentation, Making the Case for the Natural Family, on a recording from this year's Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at RedeemerNashville.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Framer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilgood. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the prophet Jeremiah. Tom, before the break, you were talking about the new promise that Jeremiah gives the people. What is it?
Yes, that's found in Jeremiah 31, but it's also found, it's almost a direct quote, in Hebrews chapter 8, 8 to 13. And here's how it goes. Verse 31, Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, a lot of people, when I ask the question, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they often think of the 39 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament. But the Bible never uses that term testament to refer to the books. It's really another word for covenant or an agreement from God. He's making a new agreement with the house of Israel. Well, what was the old one? Verse 32, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. Now, that covenant is found in Exodus chapter 24, where the people all say, and this is verse 7, when they heard God's law, then it was read in their hearing. Here's what they said, verse 7, chapter 24 of Exodus. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do and we will be obedient. That lasted to the golden calf. Didn't last long at all. The old covenant was therefore one in which one said he will be obedient. But now God has a new covenant. And he says, verse 33 of Jeremiah 31, this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And then the most important verse is verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And that's also found in Hebrews. What does God mean by that? How can he forget anything? He's omniscient. Well, what he means by forgetting your sin is that he is no longer going to hold you accountable for your sin. Like somebody may do something wrong to you, and I'll say, oh, don't worry about it, I'll just forget about it. It's not that you'll not have it on your mind, but you're not going to get even. God does not get even with you. You are not held accountable. And who is held accountable then? Does God just make this up out of thin air? And that's why CPH added on chapter 33 to look at, because here we find who's held accountable. In chapter 33, beginning with verse 14, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when, and boy, this next phrase is so important, I will fulfill the promise. What promise? That I made to the house of Israel, the house of Judah. Well, I'll tell you, if you go to Revelation 5, verse 5, Jesus ascends into heaven like a slain lamb, and he's described as coming as a lion from the tribe of Judah. This is talking about Jesus. It's a promise. Verse 15 of Jeremiah 34. This is Old Testament. In those days at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. So this is from the line of David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved. Remember when we spoke about this last week, when Israel split into the 10 northern tribes and the two southern in Jerusalem, Judah and Benjamin. Judah was the one taken into Babylonian captivity, the 10 into Assyrian captivity, and they're just gone. But Judah will be saved, Jerusalem will dwell securely, and then listen to the name of Jesus. The Lord is our righteousness. It's not the Lord is his righteousness or his own righteousness. It's our righteousness. In other words, this is the essence of the Christian faith, that when one believes the promises of God, then the righteousness of Jesus, where he never sinned once, is transferred over to you. It's called the glorious exchange, where he takes your sin and gives you his righteousness. The Bible a number of passages talks about the robe of righteousness, which every Christian has on. That's not our sanctified righteousness. It's that righteousness that comes from Jesus that we receive through conversion and in baptism. So the Sunday school teachers really can tie this Jeremiah promises to Jesus Christ, and also has so much to say about God's favor and why Sunday school children should always have a sure hope, because a hope is not just a wish, it's an assurance that God will keep his promise.
Finally then, Tom, what is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children based on this Sunday school lesson looking at the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah?
A pastor, when he counsels, will find somebody who is hopeless. That is because sin has separated us from God, and that causes our hopelessness. The gospel is to return them to Jesus Christ, who came to restore our relationship with God, which gives us not only a sure future, but an assurance of hope, not only here on earth, but also in eternal life. A wonderful lesson of law and gospel.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Katie Faust joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about media opposition to a Trump judicial appointment over some, well, not typical issues, over in vitro fertilization and surrogacy. Stay tuned. Please include the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. With 3 weeks left in 2019, we're $110,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Pedal Pushers is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month for December. Pedal Pushers decorates the Lutheran Hour Ministries float for the Tournament of Roses Parade. When you use your Lutheran FCU debit or credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, they'll give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Pedal Pushers. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus walks on water, the food that perishes and the food that lasts, Jesus as the living bread, and Jesus giving his flesh for the life of the world. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. TheWordEndures.org, TheWordEndures.org.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you need a rest from the world's headlong rush to Christmas? Someplace where you and your family can slow down and prepare for Christ's birth at the church's rather than the world's pace? A midweek evening Advent service is the perfect time for your first visit to a Christ-centered, cross-focused Lutheran church. Learn more on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org or send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.